Lord, may you open your word to us now and open our hearts to you. In your name we pray, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 17, 11 through 19. We're going to kind of look forward towards Thanksgiving here. And as we do, let's talk about ruts. You know, ruts have a bad name. And of course, that's because, you know, if you're talking about physical ruts, they're easy to slide into and hard to get out of. I don't know if you've ever driven on a dirt road in the spring. Up north, we have a lot of those. And during the warm hours, they thaw. And then someone comes by and drives on it and will leave a mucky rut that's maybe 6-8 inches deep. And then, of course, later it freezes again. And if you're driving on that road and you are stuck in that rut, it's really hard to get out of. And same way with habits. They're a lot like ruts. Easy to fall into, hard to get out of. So is that a bad thing? Is being stuck in a rut a bad thing? It depends on when you're driving, if the ruts are going where you want to go, right? If they're not going where you want to go, being stuck in a rut is not a good thing. If they're going where you want to go, well, who cares? And same with habits. Habits are good if they build up, not so good if they tear down. So the habit I want us to think about this morning is giving thanks or praising God. It's a habit that if we haven't developed, we ought to. It's a habit that does us all very good. So let's look at our text and let's briefly look at four reasons why we ought to develop the habit of giving thanks or praising God. And again, I'm emphasizing the word habit. We ought to develop a habit of praising God or giving thanks. So once again, Luke 17, 11 through 19. So why should we make it a habit of praising God? The first reason is because we are like the lepers in our text. We have been amazingly blessed by God. Amazingly blessed by God. The 10 lepers in our text encountered Jesus, it says in verse 11, as he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. If you had gotten out Google Maps, you would have came straight down from Galilee through Samaria to Jerusalem. That was the shortest route. But the Samaritans were the descendants of the people who had been moved into that area when the Jews had been moved out, when the Babylonians and the Assyrians had conquered that area. So they were nominally Jewish in their faith. As far as their ethnic background, mostly Gentile. And so the Jews as a whole tended to go around Samaria. So he was passing between the two and going around like most of the Jews did. And the lepers probably had been begging for alms when they saw Jesus, probably outside the city or just out inside the city, whichever the case might have been. And then as it says, they spotted Jesus in verse 12 and they stood at a distance as they were required to do. They had an infectious disease, a hideous disease, and they were required by the law to keep their distance from those who were healthy. And then in verse 13, they lifted up their voices. In other words, they talked very loud, or probably shouted, and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Think about their situation and how degrading it was. They had a hideous disease that disformed them and made them look ugly, which slowly but surely killed them. And this disease made others shun them. And there was nothing they could do about it to help themselves. All they could do was cry out to Jesus for mercy. And imagine having this hideous disease, being shunned by others, and then having to cry out for mercy. And not just cry out for mercy, having to cry out in a loud voice, probably so that they could be heard over the crowd that followed Jesus. We don't like to call attention to ourselves, do we? Especially when we're struggling. And they're calling attention to themselves. Crying out for mercy. Isn't that like you and I? Our leprosy is called sin. It's hideously deforming. Think of what sin does to our soul and how it warps our personality. It causes others to sometimes shun us because we bump heads with others. We irritate each other. We get on each other's nerves. We hurt each other. We offend each other. And there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. All we can do is cry out to our Lord, Jesus, have mercy on us. Thankfully, the good news, verse 14, Jesus had mercy on the lepers. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And in the same way, he had mercy on you and I. He cleansed us of our sins. He adopted us as his children. He gave us the promise of eternal life. Grace, all of it grace. Every bit of it. So why should we make it a habit to praise God? Because we have been incredibly blessed. Incredibly blessed. That's the first reason. A second reason. Why should we make it a habit to praise God? And again, I'm emphasizing the word habit. Because it's frightfully easy to take God's grace for granted. Amen? We do it all the time. Indeed, man's capacity to shrug away God's grace is astounding when you think about it. And the problem is, ingratitude, whining and complaining, that's our human nature. That's the way we're wired. Being grateful isn't. If you don't believe me, think of a two-year-old, a three-year-old. What parent has ever had to teach their child how to complain? From their youngest days, even when they can't speak, you know that pouty face that one-year-old gets. It's the way we're wired. And what do we as parents do? We teach our children to be grateful, to say thanks, and so on and so forth. Being thankful is not in our nature. It's something, a habit that we have to develop with the help of the Holy Spirit. And surely the lepers illustrate this point. Verse 15 and 16, after the 10 were healed, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. You know the story. One of the 10 returned. That sounds about right to me. I think more times than not, we don't stop and thank God, do we? Certainly most people don't. And who was it who praised the Lord? A Samaritan, a heathen, a nominal sort of Jew at best. Surely some of the other 9 were Jews, religious people. And yet, they did not thank the Lord. Which means it's easy, isn't it, for we religious people to forget, isn't it, to praise God. When I first turned to the Lord, I knew how desperately I needed the Lord. I knew it with every breath of my being. And then by God's grace, he began to heal me, began to help me grow. And I know I'm still a sinner. I know I'm still broken. Yeah, but sometimes I forget that I'm still just as broken as I ever was apart from Christ. I still need him every bit as much as I did back then. Why should we make it a habit to praise God? To remind ourselves, to remind ourselves how much we need the Lord and how blessed we are. The third reason why should we make it a habit to praise God, this is the most important one. Because our ingratitude is an affront to God. It's offensive to Him. Again, think of our kids when they're in one of those moods where nothing we do satisfies them. Wine, 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 wine. We get sick and tired of it, don't we? Do you suppose God does too? When Jesus saw that only the Samaritan returned to thank him, verse 17 and 18, then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" You can almost hear the human side of him unable to believe what he's seeing. How can this be? How can this be? 10 were healed, only 1 returned, and him a heathen. I think the human part of Jesus was shocked and offended. A little bit disgusted, maybe. Perhaps you've heard this story. If you have, don't ruin it for those who haven't heard it. A large dog walked into a barber shop, butcher shop, I said a barber shop, a butcher shop, carrying a purse around his, underneath his mouth. And when the butcher saw it, he thought, well, what is this? So he said, you know, playfully to the dog, "What is it, boy? Want to buy some meat?" And the dog went, woof. So now the butcher is really intrigued, and he wants to see where this is going. So he says, "What kind of meat do you want? Liver, bacon, steak?" Woof, the dog interrupted him. Okay. So the butcher said, "How much steak? A half a pound? 1 pound? Woof, the dog said, interrupting him. So amazed, the butcher took the meat, wrapped it up, put it in the purse, and then inside the purse he saw the money that was needed for 1 pound of steak, and took the money, and then off the dog went. Well, this was just too much for the butcher, so he followed the dog through the streets until the dog went up into an apartment and scratched on a door. When the owner opened the door, he started yelling at the dog about how stupid he was, and the butcher was beside himself. He said, "This is one of the smartest dogs I've ever seen. You know, he communicated to me what kind of meat he wanted and how much he wanted. This is an incredibly smart dog. Why are you yelling at the dog?" And the man said, "Well, this is the third time this week he forgot his key." Isn't that the way it is? A dog can wait on us hand and feet, and we would gripe because he forgot his key. I think that's how we are way too many times. We always can find something to complain about, can't we? No matter how blessed we are, if we want, we can find something to whine about. Don't you think God sometimes gets tired of hearing us whine? Why should we make it a habit to praise God? Because He deserves better than that. He deserves our thanks. He deserves our praise. Finally, the fourth reason. Why should we make it a habit to praise God? Because when we do, it blesses us in return. It blesses Him, but it also blesses us. After the Samaritan returned to thank Jesus for what Jesus did, Jesus said in verse 19, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Or literally in the Greek, "Your faith has saved you." In pronouncing this blessing, Jesus indicated that the Samaritan's faith, as expressed in his gratitude, his praise, in one sense or another, saved him spiritually. In other words, not only are we often healed physically, or wherever the case might be, when we praise God, we're often healed spiritually as well. Billy Graham said, there's nothing smaller than a man wrapped up in himself. When we praise God, we stop focusing on ourselves. We start focusing on something that's great or someone who's greater than ourselves. And then our spirit begins to soar. When we focus on ourselves, on what we don't have, what we think we need, not that those aren't legitimate concerns, but when we focus on those, our soul just kind of shrinks. Gratitude, praising God, frees us, and it helps us to soar. And this is especially true, I think, during the tough times. It's easy to praise God when life is good, right? It's easy to praise God on the beautiful sunny days. It's easy to praise God when he's just given us all kinds of special things, whatever they might be. Easy. But when we praise God during the difficult times, that's a true expression of faith, isn't it? When we praise God when we just found out we got cancer. When we praise God when we just were told we got laid off at work. That's a true expression of faith. That's saying, Lord, this stinks, but I know you're good. I know you're in control. I know you're working everything out according to your wonderful plan. And once again, when we have that type of faith, when we praise God in that way, it frees us from worry, from fear, and it causes our spirit to soar. Praising God truly is good for our soul. So, when you make a habit of something, that means you have trained yourself to do that. And a lot of our habits, we train ourselves by default. But many habits, say you're going to exercise, you train yourself to do it. It's a choice that you make day after day after day. Like a mother training her child manners. Think of how mothers train young kids to be polite and so on and so forth. You work at it, you work at it, you work at it. Maybe you've heard this conversation between a mother and a child. This is in Nancy Stahl's book, The Jelly Side Down. Child, can I have a chocolate chip cookie? The child asked the mom. The mother, how do you ask? Child, may I have a chocolate chip cookie? Mother, what do you say? Child, may I please have a chocolate chip cookie? Mother, no, it's too close to supper. It's a bit amusing, but the point is, isn't that how mothers are? They work with their kids and work with their kids and work with their kids to develop good habits. To teach them to say, may I, and please, and thank you, and so on and so forth. Any good habit, more times than not, we have to work at it, and work at it, and work at it. Philippians 4:4, you know this verse. Rejoice in the Lord again, I will say rejoice. Doesn't say rejoice when you feel like it. Doesn't say feel happy. It says rejoice, just do it. No matter how you feel, and do it always. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Again, in other words, work at rejoicing. Make it a habit to rejoice. Just do it. You and I, as children of God, we should be so filled with praise and thanksgiving that when someone bumps us, we just kind of spill out praise. It just kind of spills out of us. When the day is beautiful and pleasant, praise ought to flow from our lips. When it's cold and gray, praise ought to flow from our lips. When the storm comes and blows our life apart, praise ought to flow from our lips. when we are treated well by others, when we are not treated by well by others, praise ought to flow from our lips. When did Paul tell us to rejoice? Always. Always. Because in all things, God is good. He's in control. And he's working everything out according to his plan. And we can trust him. Now, as I said, whining comes natural to us. Praising God does not. So if you need to be more grateful in your life, practice it. Practice it. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Practice rejoicing. Each day you arise, think of five things you are thankful for and praise God for them. Or each night before you go to bed, think of five things that you are thankful for, five ways he has blessed you, and praise God for them. Make it a habit. Or when you go to God in prayer, praying about the things that are weighing on your heart, and go to him as you should. Start off by praising him. You can get to what's on your heart, but just start off by praising him. Make it a habit. Practice, practice, practice. Or take a piece of paper and write down 25 things for which you are thankful. And then keep that paper and look at it every day for a month. Practice, practice, practice. Habits, ruts, it can be good or bad. Make it a habit to praise God. Make it such a deep rut that when you fall into it, it's hard to get out of. Make it such a strong habit in your life that it's almost as natural as breathing. Praise the Lord. Thank him. Be grateful. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness. You are incredibly, incredibly good to us. I think of my own life, Lord. I know not everybody has the same situation, but how you have blessed me with the mother and father and the brother and sisters that I had. How you have blessed me with my wife and my children. I am incredibly blessed. And Lord, even just where we were born and what our life has become because of it. We are born in a wonderful country. Some people are born in a war zone and grow up in a situation we can't even imagine. Other people come of age and they are kidnapped and made to fight in a war when they're 10, 12. Some parts of the world, if you're a young girl, 10 or 12, then you are constantly in danger of being kidnapped and raped. Lord, I am blessed. Some parts of the world, when a child is born, as soon as he is born, he slowly begins to starve to death. I'm overweight. I'm blessed. You are so good to us, Lord. And when I think about what you have done for us, why you would die for us, Lord, you are the one who created the whole universe. All the galaxies that we can see, all the galaxies we cannot see, you hold them in your hand and count them as dust. And in one of those smaller galaxies, on one of the smaller solar systems, on one of the smaller planets, That's where we live. We're just dust on a dust speck compared to you. And yet you died for us. And even as you were dying for man, man was mocking you, taunting you, rejecting you. Lord, your grace is amazing. And Lord, you never give up on us. As many times as we stray, as many times as we take you for granted, you keep on loving us, you keep on calling us back to you, you keep on helping us to grow, keep on walking us home. And then one day you will come for us. You will take us to be with you forever. We will see you face to face in all your glory. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. You will take our sin nature and destroy it completely. You will take our enemy, cast him into the lake of fire. And we will be able to love you and each other as we ought, as we never have before. We are blessed. We are blessed. You owe us nothing. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Grace, it's all grace. How we praise you, Lord. In your name, amen.